Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Revolution Radio. I forgot I had made a 90-second cut of that, so my apologies for just a little bit of a break. We have a pretty short show tonight, but it's, I think, you probably know how I'm feeling. There is a lot that we are facing, and we've reached a threshold, if you will. But as I always start out, I'd like to remind us where we are right now. Remember how John F. Kennedy warned us about so many things. But he did say, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And I think we can see that we, again, have presented everything we possibly could, all of us, you know, from the Tea Party to the people focusing on Obama's eligibility to folks working on every single bill. We have tried and perhaps not fully exhausted all of our legal means, the means that were given to us. I don't think that we fully have yet, but boy, the Supreme Court's blow to the Constitution is, in my view, the trigger. Colonel Lakin, Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, is coming up next. You know, we are the last lines of defense of the Constitution, and I have to say, we are all here right now exactly for this purpose. Think about that. It's a very scary time, but I'm glad I'm alive right at this time. And I think all of us who are listening now and who will listen to the archives later, we all know this. This is why you're sitting here on a Wednesday night listening to this crazy lady from, you know, who knows where, but somewhere up there in the Midwest to speak with you. So, good evening. Welcome again. What I'm going to do tonight is, first of all, talk about the eligibility, where it is, how to speak about it. As you know, there have been a lot of articles out, and once again, what's his name? Anderson Cooper just totally blew everything. So I want to just have a moment to talk about how we should talk about it because, you know, the Supreme Court didn't decide anything. They ducked. They didn't decide anything. The courts haven't decided anything except we the people aren't valid under the Constitution. That's how you should talk about it. Not that the court ruled we didn't have any standing. No, don't buy that. You know what I'm saying? Standing was a ruse. So I'd like to talk about that a little bit. And then I'd also this evening like to bring focus to a lame cherry article that was written, I believe, today regarding the interesting Ulsterman, the insider views and so forth, and what has happened on lame cherry's blog, but what it indicates about what we are finding right now. In fact, all of our work on the eligibility of Obama have, as you know, revealed many more things that I'm sure they never wanted us to know. George Soros, the media control, the Islamo-communists, you know, it's a lame cherry term, the, you know, the fascists, the Brzezinskis, and, you know, there is a silver lining in everything, and part of what we've done is to uncover information. So I'd like to cover that and, you know, put the lame cherry article in there to link it. Then I'd like to cover just a couple of quotes on the Supreme Court from Martin Babbitts, and to pose a couple of issues that in the long run are going to suggest, you know, why should we listen to them at all? And in any case, we can move forward because they now have been exposed too. An update on Lieutenant Colonel Lakin's court-martial, which is happening in a couple of weeks at Fort Meade in Maryland, begins at 9 a.m. on December 14th. The courtroom is open and accessible. You have to call Fort Meade and get access to there. And, gee, don't forget to bring your birth certificate to enter a military base. But ask them, make sure you bring whatever you have to. But wouldn't that be curious? In any case, I know a bunch of us are heading there. I know I am. I'd like you to go. And just one announcement. I will be on the Reverend Manning show tomorrow afternoon, starting about 4:15 Eastern. And Reverend Manning and a number of other people, as you know, we're not stopping at all until this usurper is out of office. So he wants to do a little bit of a discussion about his possible activities, and I want to announce some things as well and keep this issue alive because, you know, Terry Lakin goes away if we don't keep it alive. So with that in mind, hello, everyone, in the chat room. And hi, Nancy, and Tenacity, and Sang, behave yourself because I've got you on my little board here, and you can easily be removed. Gee, that's a lot of power, but, you know, I guess that's the way it is. okay, so hello, and hi, Tenacity, nice to see you. So let me break a little bit to about a five-minute music while I get all of this set up for our discussion this evening, and as soon as I find that. And if you would please, I'd like you to list for me and have any kind of discussion you need this evening about what we do next. There's a lot of energy out there. It's time to move. And any topics you would like me to discuss, and I'll try to do that. Also, you're also welcome to come in and call and speak your mind as well. There's no reason that I have to do all the talking, but you know how I am. Can't get me off my soapbox. So listen, I'll be right back, and let me get this set up for you. Here we go.
Here's a song that was written for us by Hugh Masekela. He calls it Soweto Blues. The children got a letter from their mother. It said no more Kosa, Dudu, no more Dulu.
Crying, the fathers were working in the city, the evening.
Wonderful tune by Miriam Makeba. Okay, hopefully you have seen the articles that I put up right now. And the first one I'm going to discuss is the article in the military, military.com, Today in the Military. And it's called Supreme Court Boots Birther Appeal. What I want to call your attention to is, here it is, I'll just read just a piece. The Supreme Court on Monday rejected a Pennsylvania man's bid. It wasn't just a Pennsylvania man, it's a retired military officer, to force President Obama to show his birth certificate in order to prove he is qualified under the Constitution as a natural-born citizen to be the commander-in-chief. Is that correct? No. He didn't ask him to show his birth certificate. Does everyone understand still what kind of regime we're under? This is the military paper, of course. The High Court offered no comment to dismissing the appeal filed on behalf of Charles Kirchner by his attorney, right? Not Commander Charles Kirchner. This is a military paper. Hello? Okay. Apuzzo went to the Supreme Court hoping the justices would push for the case to be heard. Obama, Kirchner, along with several other named plaintiffs, want Obama to produce what they call the long-form birth certificate. That will again, that is not the case. There is nothing here that he did. Here's another statement. Obama made his birth certificate public during the presidential campaign, as well as a birth announcement that appeared in local papers when he was born. But critics known as birthers continue to question the validity of those documents as proof of birth in the United States. He did not push his birth certificate public, put it online, and the birth announcement is irrelevant. The whole issue, again, is being totally slammed and ignored. Does everyone want me to still deal with this? Holy cats. You can hear me, yes, out there? Okay. All right, I'm just making sure that you can hear me. All right. So obviously they're going to continue to be wrong, and you have to point it out that Kushner was not asking for the birth certificate. He'd already proved that Obama is ineligible. Some had hoped that a decision by the Supreme Court to hear the argument would also help the case of Army Lieutenant Colonel Wagon, the career surgeon who faces a court-martial in 2 weeks for refusing to deploy, et cetera, et cetera. A spokesman for Lakin said the court's rejection, and here's the sentence I want you to take a look at. The court's rejection of Kirchner should not hurt the soldier's case. That's fine. But here's the sentence. The earlier Pennsylvania court ruling said Kirchner couldn't argue he suffered damages from the president's failure to show documents. The spokesman explained. And then went further to say the fact that Lakin is being charged criminally of what he's doing gives him a lower standard of proof. Now, we have gone on and on in my blog and also on this radio show about, quote, Kushner couldn't argue he suffered damages from the president's failure to show documents. And that was the standing issue, and we know what the standing is. We know what an invention it is. We also know that this was not an issue of proving damage. And if anyone tries to tell you that, you have to defeat that completely. Remember the record here. Obama did not put up anything refuting anything that Kushner said. By law, by custom, by practice, if you don't say anything about a charge to you, it's automatically assumed you have to accept it. You have to accept as true those facts. So the only thing any of these courts has done is accept as true that Obama is not a natural-born citizen. That's all they've done. And the only other thing they've done is say that citizens, we don't have standing. We don't have standing to enforce the system we created. Hello? So it's very important to not let these slip by. Now, in the context of this article, with regard to Lakin, I can see how this was laid out. Because, again, remember, Lakin is not asking to prove, you know, the whole natural-born citizen concept. He is asking for that piece of paper. And so, in continuing with the article, Lakin is facing criminal charges, so obviously you've got a, quote, much lower threshold here to show standing. See, if the case was about standing, this is technically a correct statement. But as we know, it's not about standing. Remember, again, this is in the military news, so spokespeople are trying to put the best face on this and be very, you know, exact. So let me read that again. A spokesman for Lakin said the court's rejection of Kushner should not hurt the soldier's case. The earlier Pennsylvania court ruling said Kushner couldn't argue he suffered damages from the president's failure to show documents. In Lakin's case, the fact that he is being charged criminally because of what he's doing makes a big difference. He is facing criminal charges, so obviously you've got a much lower threshold here to show standing. If you're facing real damages, you're facing jail time behind bars, you're entitled to evidence to defend yourself. Again, that statement is, you know, you can see it absolutely in the context of Lieutenant Colonel Lakin, but, you know, we are facing real damages, too. Every day, every second, every millisecond, we're facing damages. And, again, but this is correct. Now, here we go, and here is the punchline for the Lakin piece. If you're facing real damages, you're facing jail time, quote, this is it. You're entitled to evidence to defend yourself. And when Judge Lynn defied that in the case of this situation, I mean, it's clearly reversible error. It's clearly reversible error, even within the military justice system. I challenge anyone to tell me it's not. You're entitled to evidence to defend yourself. Now, here's this. The Army's argument is that Lakin is disobeying orders from his commander, not from Obama. See, change the subject. No, he's facing his order. He's facing a disobeying order from his direct commander, his, you know, the military, not from Obama. Hello? when Obama put out that order for 20,000 troops to go, Lakin was in the room when that was announced. Those were his orders. They came from Obama. You saw a picture in my post of the chain of command. Obama's right there. So obviously, you know, we have a foreigner in the White House, so no big surprise he's trying to break chain of command. But these are real damages right now to this individual in jail time. So Apuzzo called Lakin an individual who has risked his life, his honor, career, his family, his retirement over a simple principle. Kirshner finally, they say, a retired Navy commander, slammed the Supreme Court in a statement released after his decision. The Roberts Court of the U.S. Supreme Court will be known in history as the Neville Chamberlain Supreme Court, the Great Obama Appeaser Court, adding that the High Court acted out of fear from the political left. I agree. But also, I think, and this segues into my next piece. Oh, let me finish this from Commander Kirshner. Supreme Court has chosen appeasement and inaction over action, and dealing with the issue and questions openly in a court of law under the rules of evidence and law, Kirshner exclaimed, our constitutional republic and the legal system is now compromised and broken. I agree. Now, see the contrast in how the stuff is discussed. Right from the beginning of the article, they just talk about the stupid, you know, birth certificate and all that kind of stuff. We have to keep disavowing this. But also, none of these articles should be allowed to proceed without being correctly in stating about this. The thing that I am grateful for is that they did put in the Kirshner material, but they didn't put in the key piece, that Obama is ineligible anyway, no matter where he was born. And they continue to accept and lower the standard where anyone who goes to the Lakin hearing is probably going to have to bring their birth certificate. Because remember in our interview with Terry's brother last week, Dr. Greg Lakin, he said that one thing that really ticked Terry off was that, you know, when he was reporting for duty, you know, at the Pentagon, he had to bring his birth certificate. What, and the President of the United States doesn't? Do we need any more proof? So, you know, I would say stand tall. We're fine. The Constitution was violated here. Learn to speak about this. Study this article and, you know, as you know, speak about it and don't let people, you know, boot it out. Talk about it. Don't let people be silent about it now, because right now it is quite significant. So, okay. Good evening, all. Let me see. Yes, S510 today. Terrific. Basically, the Senate initiated a revenue-raising piece when they passed it. Revenue-raising can only be done in the House, so the Democrats in the House are actually going to stop it. So, you know, it's... there we are. So, anyway... okay, so is everyone doing okay in here this evening? Very good. Okay, I'm going to switch now to the lame cherry article. I will put that in the chat again if people would like to look at it. And it segues from the, definitely from the eligibility piece. As you recall, the insider is talking to Ulsterman and revealing that the White House is in chaos and there's infighting and Pelosi, and, you know, we've all speculated on who the insider is, even all the way to the point of essentially suggesting, oh, man, this just must be a made-up story. Me in particular, I was hoping that the last information released was, you know, was... you know, much more juicy, because who didn't know the media elected Obama? Who didn't know they were all bought? But what Lame Cherry does and goes on is quite fascinating, and I think this gets to the point here. What we have done by taking these courses, these cases to court on eligibility, and all the research we've done is we've really uncovered the fact that this guy's a New World Order stooge. And the more we uncover this information, the more, you know, the more I think the ruling elite is getting a little bit nervous. And if we go back to Ulsterman and thinking that the insider is, you know, just a made-up story, made up inside his head, Lame Cherry offers offers evidence that in his blog, Ulsterman, quote, was, you know, was removed. And he makes a comment, and, you know, you kind of have to, like, sit down with a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage to really read Lame Cherry, because it doesn't do it, you know, any justice to try to read pieces from Lame Cherry's article. So I strongly urge you to read it. But if I may paraphrase, the damages to Lame Cherry's blog and the things that he writes about points to a preoccupation by the cartels that control. That control everything. And he's just suggesting that, you know, what Ulsterman is revealing, which enhances our own connections as we work on the eligibility case, is that Obama doesn't want us looking around here. Nobody in the cartels do not want us linking anything that the insider says and going and looking, like going to Chicago and looking at Rockefeller and looking at all these people. And, of course, the increasing danger in exposing for the cartels, in exposing Obama's ineligibility is by exposing him, there are going to be threads that go right back to those cartels. We've already uncovered George Soros, the influence on Congress, you know, the bogus drilling moratorium and money's going everywhere. And we also know that Soros, I think, is banned from France. You know, I'd like to see him be banned from the United States. We already know about Rockefeller. We already know about the Rothschilds. We can pick up that formula, funding both sides of an issue. We know that it's been around since the Civil War. That's the thing that's so incredible. But, you know, the left got greedy because they exposed themselves pretty well. What Lame Cherry is pointing out is that we're on to something, and that while we still can, it is still very important to keep those threads of information out and to learn as much as we can. I wrote in a post last night that we need to map out what this situation is. We can do that, too. And move forward. So I think it's quite fascinating. And it even goes so far as saying this regarding David Rockefeller, which I thought was very funny. Here I quote, "Uncle David, when you allow to be installed a foreigner like Obama, his crimes have threads which will come pulling back into the very heart of the cartels," unquote. That one statement tells you we need to keep going, because that is true. You know, as far as the Supreme Court, let's look at this. Obama compromised them completely when he went to see them before he was inaugurated on the 15th of January, I believe, or 14th. While there was a case before the Supreme Court on him, which they all know about, you're not supposed to have a discussion between the defendant and the judge judging your situation. The only person who didn't go to that meeting was Alito. He was not there. So he compromised them. And then look at the flubbed oath. And then also, what about the second or third oath? And if a Quran was used, you know, I'm about to call, like, bullshit on that, because swearing on a Quran is just like swearing to overthrow America. And that is not okay. And the second swearing in. So all of them were compromised, and they must know it. They know it. And, you know, Apuzzo and Kirshner are absolutely right on the law. That's flawless. It's absolutely flawless, no matter what point you want to argue. Their materials are flawless and historic. You know, the Supreme Court just blew it. They missed the greatest chance to, number one, put us off. You know, they could have faked it and took it, you know, and you know, not decided in 2 years on the issue. Just kept postponing it, you know. That's what they could have done. But no, they had to absolutely lay their whole cards on the table. They're corrupt. They should be impeached. They should resign immediately. Absolutely. So before I go off the deep end here, let me see. Deep Tutu, yes. Thought that was very funny. Deep Tutu, because they think that it's, you know, Ram, or they think it's, you know, well, Lame Cherry does. And anyway, let me see if I can pull out. Here we go. The last sentence. Last paragraph. last couple of paragraphs. See, what's Ulsterman and Deep Tutu do not state about the MSM protecting Obama is not so much to protect the MSM being idiots in installing Obama, but to protect the cartels which control the media. And as Obama crimes become public, more threads will keep being pulled that will go into the Chicago price fixing, the New York shearing of stocks, European embezzlement of trillions of U.S. dollars, and the entire international contraband of the narco-Islamo-communist terror network. I would say he has it all right there. So he finishes by saying the signs of what is happening with Ulsterman and his quotes being white-outed here, he had a whole session disappear, point to some intrepidation by the cartels that when Obama comes down, it's going to point too many fingers at their international crimes against Americans. So, you know, tenacity, you know, Terry, what we were talking about in terms of, you know, the Bushes and, you know, the monies and the Clintons, the disappearing, you know, all the gold was stored underneath the World Trade Center when it came down. You know, the various theories of 9/11 and what a distraction that is, just so many things have come out. So we need to keep this eligibility issue front and center, absolutely front and center. And I do not believe that, you know, Obama's going to be around for 6 years. Something is going to happen. We will get him out one way or another. But it is time to really now, step it up. what I mean by that is that there's no more excuses. I don't think the military is going to act before we the people act, you know, because I think the infiltration is pretty deep. And it's more than infiltration. It's just that they all have everything on everybody else. And, you know, with the discovery of the memo that came out from the Congressional Research Service, I mean, that memo changed history. The whole Congress was just basically shut up. And they still did not. They didn't realize their implied responsibility in the 20th Amendment. And that's, of course, one of the items that was gone after in the Apuzzo case, which just shows you this is not about standing. They got right to the heart of the issue. This was not about a failure to prove injury. This was about the Supreme Court absolutely ignoring the Constitution. But can you say that right out right now? No, probably not without, you know, finding yourself dead the next morning or on a no-fly list or, you know, permanently being groped by TSA, you know, who knows. So it's very severe right now. Yeah, that's right, it's all Bush's fault. But no, the stealing of wealth is deep. It's deep. It's why we can't get at the Federal Reserve. It's why these guys stay in power. It's absolutely, as I was writing, it's a watershed moment here. You know, they are absolutely out of control and out of compliance. Yeah, Nancy, no nonsense, Nancy. I totally agree that he's getting blamed as well. You know, let me just say hi in the chat room a little bit here. Caden, nice to see you. Guest 7011 and guest 7702 and Nancy and Sang and Tenacity. Yeah, Bush is really involved here, the first Bush. We've got both Clintons. Interesting, these WikiLeaks, yes? Now, I think it's outrageous. I really do, that this could be allowed to go on. But I also think this release has so much of Obama prankster all over it that I can't stand it. Because who does it target? It targets Hillary Clinton. I heard some discussion today of that some of the memos that have been released that were supposedly in the State Department bundle of diplomatic memos. So this was from John Bolton, who basically said he thought that some of those memos were intelligence memos that got slipped into the State Department stack of memos. So what do you think about that? We've got our intelligence agencies all working. And the thing that shocks me about this, you know, not only the release of any names that come out and so forth, but why our people are dying in the field. These idiots are dealing with bullshit. You know, who's the woman who's with this guy? And, gee, this guy parties all night and is tired. Or, you know, what about that guy? You know, it's just, can you believe it? Honestly, I hope if our troops are listening tonight, you know, they just pack up their stuff and come home. Because there's no diplomatic effort out there trying to help people. It's just all for show, and it's all diversion, and it's all to make money. That's all what they're saying. The only way Obama can get out of this crisis is to you know, start a war. And yes, Bush is a Nazi. Yes, he is. So, hi, Davian. I guess I didn't see you before. Hello. So anyway, I'm going to read you now just a couple things before we move into a break, or if I can talk about any other things for you. I really hope that everybody comes to the Lakin court martial, please. I think if we all can't get into the court, we need to demonstrate outside their gates. You know, I personally would just love to, you know, have a honking fest in my vehicle somewhere around the Supreme Court while we're there, like maybe on our lunch break. You know, it's, and if anything, to meet everybody. I know that Reverend Manning is going to be there. And again, don't forget, I'll be on the Manning Show tomorrow. But let me read this section to you on the Supreme Court. And this is out of the book The Illusion of Freedom by Martin Babbitt. And this book is a terrific book because he basically is talking about the several truths of the Constitution that we are not told. Let me just list them for you. The first truth is that we have a limited federal government rather than a supreme national government. We know that. We have Republican state government, the second truth. The third truth, the Supreme Court's limited role. The fourth truth, the Bill of Rights restricts the federal government alone, not the states. Fifth truth, the Constitution is supreme. The sixth truth, life, liberty, and property get equal constitutional billing. This was the damage cited in Kirchner. Life, liberty, and property, and protection, security, safety, and happiness. That was the damage. What, that didn't have standing? The seventh truth, the Constitution guarantees a free enterprise system. But I'd like to focus for a second on this piece on the Supreme Court. What's so supreme about the Supreme Court? So here's an interesting theory, just a couple of points here. Opening quote by Alexander Hamilton in Federalist Number 78, quote, the judiciary, and try not to gag when you hear this, the judiciary, from the nature of its functions, will always be the least dangerous to the political rights of the Constitution. because it will be the least in a capacity to annoy or injure them. Yeah. Nice concept. And then it goes on to, the opening paragraph goes on to describe just a perfect analogy for how the members in our government, which we designed and who they have totally destroyed it, changed the rules. So here's this. The Super Bowl is underway with the Giants playing the Dolphins. The Giants hire and pay the referees and promise to both retain them and give them a raise if the Giants win. The referees are also given extraordinary powers to, quote, interpret, unquote, the rules. For example, the referees penalize a legitimate block by a Dolphin player as an illegal clipping because he violated the, quote, fundamental right, unquote, of the Giants defender to pursue the Dolphin player with the ball. How crazy is that? But here's an interesting piece that's asserted about the Supreme Court. And, you know, this kind of stuff that the courts have been doing to us is very much like that analogy that everybody does give, is that essentially, you know, you don't boil a bullfrog by throwing him into boiling water. You put him in there and heat it up. And that's what's going on right now. You know, could be called Cloward Piven, could be called Alinsky, but, you know, it's a pot of boiling water, a cauldron. The word supreme is used in two different contexts in the Constitution. The first states that the Constitution is the, quote, the supreme law of the land. Supreme is also used to distinguish the federal government's Supreme Court from the inferior federal government courts that Congress is authorized to create. So the judicial power of the United States is vested in the Supreme Court and any inferior courts established by Congress. It can only possibly apply to the judicial power of the government of the United States, which is the federal government. The rest is up to us, the states. All legislative powers are hereby granted and vested in the Congress of the United States. References to the United States, which is the federal government in this context throughout the Constitution, are to the federal government, which is identified by the United States. So essentially, judicial power invested in, quote, the United States refers to the judicial power vested in the federal government's courts, including the Supreme Court. Government powers encompass three aspects: legislative, executive, and judicial. All three components attach to the federal government or the United States government with respect to constitutionally delegated powers, and all three remain vested in the states and their people as reserve powers. So what this is asserting, basically, is the Supreme Court only has supremacy over the federal government. It doesn't have any supremacy over state laws and so forth, contrary to Marbury versus Madison. I mean, there were all kinds of inconsistencies in what the, you know, what the Supreme Court did in the Kirchner case. All of these components attached to the federal government or United States government with respect to the constitutionally delegated powers. The state courts were already in existence at the time of the Constitution. The state courts were not and are not established by Congress. Congress has the power to ordain and establish inferior federal courts to the Supreme Court, but not state courts that are established. So I haven't read this whole... somebody's running for president. Good, when they're 35. Excellent. Don't break the rules now, though. I know you're ready, but no. We've already got somebody breaking the rules. Don't break the age rule, please. Thank you. Learn as much as you can from your elders in the room here, sir. In any case, what I think this is suggesting is that, you know, we've got to really move on the state level to step forward and have the states stand for our violated rights under the Constitution. That's what we have to do. I don't care if the Constitution or you think the government is a corporation. You know, even in that scenario, the board, the stockholders, the board, has a chance to throw them all out. And at this point, it's at the state level, it seems, to push that. Now, we already have states that are now working on, you know, the eligibility issue on the state level. You can't get on the ballot unless you prove, you know, you're a natural-born citizen. And, you know, that's going to cut Obama out in a few key states. One or two states does that. The rest of them do, too. I don't think Obama's going to run, but, you know, who knows? He may think he, you know, think he can. I can't imagine that he's so bored with it now that he could stand it, you know, for another 6 years. So there has to be action at the state level. When you think about this as well, are the violation of our rights to have a sound monetary system, where is that going to start? It is not going to start with the people who are benefiting from it. It's going to start at the state level. And so I think I'm making a plea out here to really understand where we're at, and to realize where we can act and what are the national issues, what are the national issues we're going to have to look at. I'm about to write a post tonight, which is why this evening is short, which I'm calling Watershed Politics, because it really is a watershed where we're at. We can't use the same tools that we did in the past to change the thinking that created, you know, we can't use the same tools that created the problems that we have right now. We have to be extremely effective. And if you think about watershed, I do, as a physical system, it's a bunch of tributaries running to one main stem, you know, river that runs out to the ocean or runs into another main stem river. And there are millions of little tributaries. And the information that falls, the rain, as rain, it goes into a bunch of rivulets. And all of those now have to be activated, if you will, and in somewhat of a random manner, so that when, you know, we all coalesce and rush down to that mouth, we are overwhelming. We're like a land-based tsunami. And that all of our issues, I don't care if you're Tea Party, I don't care if you're 912, Puma, Birther, Republican, or, you know, real Republican, conservative, what our issues are right now, basically that main river that runs through our efforts is the Constitution. We all know that. We don't necessarily have a position on race. You know, we don't have a position on gay rights. That's not what the issue is. The issue is the Constitution. So is there a position on immigration? Absolutely. Enforce the law and stop suing the states. That's impeachable. You know, are we going to have any of these people in the new Congress stand up? Remember what Pelosi did when she said that she could have all the subpoena power and supposedly try to get Bush out. But this, you know, they're all in it together. Bush knows. Cheney knew what happened when they violated the 25th Amendment or the 20th Amendment and our rights on January 8th, 2009. They all know that. And, you know, they just thank their lucky stars that, you know, the powers that be got to buy off Roberts and all of those people. If the court had taken this case, you know, it really is, it would, they'd have to step down right afterwards because it just shows them absolutely as, you know, they don't have any cover. And so they chose to destroy America. And, you know, at that point, all bets are off. But if it's there and if the issue of eligibility is going to be with the people, well, then we're going to have to, like, take this over. We really are. So, okay, I've probably blabbed enough. Okay, let me see. Okay, I see that I'm probably having a very amazing effect on the chat room here. And I'm hoping that, you know, I'm hoping that I'm not just blabbing too much, but what do you say? So in summary for this evening, we're at a watershed. They have increasingly making it impossible for us to do this peacefully. They have been served. They have not only been served with the Articles of Freedom, and you know what that briefly was? That basically was a document that documented constitutional violations. It identified remedial actions for Congress and the states and ourselves to get back to constitutional governance. They were all served that. Everybody was served that document. Okay. And they've been served with all the lawsuits. They've been served with all the petitions in the Manning case and in the American grand jury. All of that. They've been served with that information. So, you know, they've been given ample warning. Do they care? No. And there's your proof there. So we've got to do this in a way, frankly. We got to fly like a flock of birds because it will give more of a chance for individuals of us to live. It is time to water the tree of liberty. I am very proud and pride is not a word. I mean, it's not a concept here that applies to my feeling that I'm glad that I'm alive at this time, no matter how difficult it is and what my fate is here. This is absolutely, we've been chosen to stand at this time. And I'm not, you know, saying give me $29 and, you know, I'll really help you be chosen too. I'm just saying just be thankful, all of us. The next lame cherry article, yeah, it's a crime breaking the Constitution as a war crime, you know, but it's a crime, definitely. It's called treason and sedition. So, you know, in the long run, folks, we are there. Remember, this eligibility issue is still front and center. Please pay attention to Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin. Let's keep that information out there. Watch for that. When you talk about eligibility, make sure you let people know they didn't decide anything except the Constitution's not valid. What our investigation has uncovered here is truly tremendous. You know, we've got a lot of avenues to continue to take action. Like a friend said, there's more than one way to skin this cat. So in that regard, I'd like to thank you all for coming this evening. And to really hope and wish for your best, the last lame cherry article, the one before this one on Ulsterman, or maybe the one afterwards, is a very prophetic article on probably an expected huge, you know, we're already in all of this stuff, but take a look at that article. I can't remember what it's, hang on, I'll see if I can find it. It's not the interesting Ulsterman. It is the, in the year of our Lord. Has anyone seen that article? Just about how things are unfolding the way they are. Remember, the only thing that works is keeping that information out there. And really, prayer is what we must do. Take a look at that article. And I want to thank you, everyone. Count your days and, you know, be well with yourself. Be on your knees. Repent. Do your best for God's will. Listen to the clarion call right now. It is absolutely essential that we move forward. Don't be sleeping too long. Keep one eye open. Watch for my next post, please. Watershed Politics. Thank you all. Have a great evening.
Told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh.